Here and now, it's time for celebration. I finally figured out.
Yeah, yeah.
Then all the queefs
are for liberation.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Trans in Love,
a podcast
where we talk about being trans
and in love.
I'm Ezra Michelle.
I'm Elle Duran. Can you believe it?
We're married.
And we're in love.
And we're trans.
In that order.
This is an intro that we didn't rehearse, but no. We're starting to get really good at.
I couldn't agree more. And I also couldn't agree more.
That's beautiful.
Thanks.
I love your faith.
I have faith.
Speaking of faith, we wanted to do an episode on spirituality because it's something that both of us have talked about a lot.
Mwah, mwah. Just kidding.
Don't let God hear you.
God? God's going to punish me.
God's going to punish you for that womp womp.
God.
God's going to be like, do you remember when you did that womp womp?
Yeah. Remember
burn
the womp?
In hell.
I show up at the gates. Womp womp. Ring a bell.
Remember.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he pushes a button.
And then I fall. And then I fall. Yeah,
not for any of the other shit. Not for any of this.
No, not for these boobs.
Not for these boobs.
Not for these male boobs.
We both disrespected God because of our tits.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Tits were a big part of me learning how to disrespect God.
Yeah.
God, true. He, him, God.
He, him, God. What? Like the she, her, God's going to punish us?
No, she, her, God is in me.
She's a trans woman.
She, her, God is a trans woman. And she is penetrating my soul and my heart.
She's penetrating
my soul.
And my heart.
She's penetrating my soul. Drop the S.
Tight.
Let's have an epiphany. I want to have an epiphany.
I want to have a spiritual awakening.
Talk to God.
Now.
Let's have an epiphany. Mother.
Let's have an epiphany.
Okay. Anyway, before we get into this, how are you?
Sipping some tea. I'm drinking a London Fog, an Earl Grey with a little oat milk steamed.
Chip chip in it.
And some brown sugar.
Brown sugar.
Your British accent is one of my least favorite
it's
things.
It's getting better.
You do. It's not. No offense, my love, but you know this about me.
No, of course.
I don't like your British accent.
It's jarring. It's stimulating. It's
it hurts my eardrums.
It's grating.
It's grating. That's a good word for it.
And you know what? I think it's great.
Some British people just don't talk so loud.
I know that British people hate it when Americans do that.
Yeah.
And I think ever since I found that out, I've been leaning in.
You've been doing it more. Worse.
I'm like, you can make fun of us.
They do. They probably do.
Yeah, for sure. Like, feel free.
I say go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I say let's all make fun of each other as long as we're all white.
Honestly, cancel culture has gone too far. I should be able to make fun of British people without cultural backlash.
As long as they're white, I say go for it.
As long as you're white. Wicked part two. Anyway, how are you?
I'm gearing up for your trip, for our trip.
Our trip, who are
in Spain.
Heaven. Mm-hmm.
That's on my mind. My mom's coming to visit tonight.
Tonight!
We're going to pick her up from the airport tonight.
I'm so excited.
I'm super excited.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel relatively good. Mm-hmm. However, sales are down with my brand, with
sales
my t-shirts, and I'm struggling a little bit.
We got to get those sales up.
We got to get that. I'm a businessman, and my sales, it's trending down.
I imagine us in the meeting with the chart.
Listen, Pussy Boy Apparel sales are down, trending down. And we gotta keep the investors happy.
Mm-hmm. And that's stressful.
And it's stressful. So I'm like split into many different places right now.
Yeah,
how
absolutely.
Are you doing?
I'm good. I don't even know. I'm a little all over the place. I think I woke up this morning knowing that we had stuff to get done.
Yeah.
And so whenever that happens, like I am in go 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 mode. I have a sense of urgency. And that urgency can manifest as, anxiety, mania, just general discontentment. But I feel like we've checked off so many things off of our list.
Yeah.
And now we're here.
Yeah. Here and now. It's time for celebration.
Oh, circle it back.
Circle it back to Vanessa
P. Hudgens.
Josephina Hudgens.
When is High School Musical 4? Weren't they going to do High School Musical 4? They were like setting us up for it.
Do you think I know about that?
No. They're doing Camp Rock 3.
I would consume that, though.
They're filming it right now.
I would. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Demila?
Well, it's unclear if Demi's in it. We don't know.
It's not Camp Rock, then.
Yeah, that's what everyone's saying on the internet.
Oh, see? I would be part of that conversation if I knew that was going on and if I had the energy and if I really wanted to.
Yeah, that's the difference between you and me, is that I get lost in the social media and like the news that's like trending.
It's trending.
You get lost in scary Facebook hell where old women named Susan, old Susan. Derogatory. not derogatory. I'm just kidding.
It's derogatory. No.
Are like saying like batshit stuff about
like a lemonade pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really, it's really small stuff.
Yeah,
they're complaining about. I love the comment sections. I also love parent content. Being a parent content.
Because people get, it's the comments. Comments.
Yeah.
For you, scroll. You get lost in the comments because people.
I just read. But I don't respond. I don't ever chime in. I'm just like, let's see how this is going to go.
That raises my blood pressure when I read comments like that. I don't understand how you can do it.
That's my Real Housewives.
Oh, that makes, that's, oh my God, you just reminded me that the new season of Salt Lake City is out.
I don't relate to that.
Oh my God. You need to watch the season with me, will you?
I don't think so.
Oh my God.
You've tried to get me to watch this for a long time.
Yeah.
It raises my blood pressure.
It raises my blood pressure.
A positive blood pressure.
Oh, I'm finding out my blood type today or tomorrow. Fingers crossed. I hope it's my type.
I hope that it's O neg.
Because then I'm a universal donor.
Your new universal donor.
I'm a universal donut. Throwback to the donut we ate at Universal Studios.
It was huge.
It was huge.
I'm talking size of my head, huge.
If I was beautiful. A universal donut, I'd be thrilled. Honestly, I would just give up all my blood right now.
That's beautiful.
I imagine I like shrivel up.
We ate so much of that donut too. It was really good.
So good.
It was pink. It was from The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. It really felt like a cartoon donut and it tasted like I only dreamed.
Yeah, absolutely. Highly recommend if you ever go. It's the one redeeming thing about Universal Studios.
I love amusement parks. Trip. You like roller coasters, but you don't like theme parks. Is that true?
That's not true.
Oh, okay.
That trip was awful because my friend got us tickets and it was a nice gesture. Love that. Thank you, Shane.
So kind.
That was a beautiful gesture. However, it was 104
degrees out
that day.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, Shane, I think we're going to die if we go today. Can we change the date of our tickets? And he was like, no, sorry. And I was like, all good.
Wow. You know what? That I just had a flashback of remembering that we went the same week that I filmed Abbott Elementary.
Oh.
Because I remember on the day that we filmed that episode, it was 104 degrees out. And this was a Halloween episode. And so it was supposed to be cold out. And they were filming outside stuff in like warm coats.
They were like, brr.
It was rough.
I'm cold. It's Chicago and I'm cold, cold, cold.
It's Philly.
Philadelphia and I'm cold,
Chicago,
cold, cold.
And it's Philly, Philly, Philly. Also,
Philadelphia.
I feel like we could just do an entire podcast of us just jumping back and forth. It feels like telephone or broken telephone.
Why does it feel like that?
Because you said Philly, which made me think of Philly cheesesteak, which made me think of the Philly cheesesteak that I had recently here in Mexico that tasted predominantly like soy sauce. And
it was for sure seasoned with a lot of soy sauce.
Mostly soy sauce. Oops.
Yeah. All soy sauce.
It was just a plate full of soy sauce.
Soy sauce
like,
sandwich.
Here's your Philly cheesesteak.
And they were like,
there was a moment, too, where I was like, maybe I just haven't had a Philly cheesesteak in a while. And
no, you took a bite and you were like,
it's really good. Yeah.
And then I was like, really? I'm surprised. And then I took a bite and I was like, that tastes like soy sauce.
Yeah, it was like
all
soy sauce.
And then you were like, that tastes like soy sauce.
Yeah, we need to find our restaurants here. Just weaseling our way into this topic. Let's do like a little prerequisite of like,
okay,
of what like spirituality means to
us.
Yeah,
I don't want to scare people.
No, because
I'd be scared.
I feel like
I just heard that.
And we can talk more about
where
we were when we met each other in a spiritual sense. Yeah. And I think for me, the way I understand spirituality is basically creating words and labels to experiences that like science hasn't yet like proven.
Okay.
So it's like, I feel like often like I have these certain experiences that I can't really like understand what they are scientifically. Like, I just don't know, like a physical sensation that feels like metaphysical, or like moments where like these moments where I'm brought so much clarity, and then there's something that seems like an unavoidable sign that another might see as a coincidence, like externally, mm-hmm. the same moment that I'm having this physical experience, this like this sense of oneness that I feel with the world and life, that feels like it's more fun to believe that it's something quote unquote magical than it is to just believe that it's a bunch of chemicals firing. Like, I think it can be both at the same time.
Yeah. I think it's fun to believe both.
Yeah.
Depending on where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that similar to what I think about spirituality at this time.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I think it's a way to communicate about these things. It's a way to be able to communicate with each other about these things, putting words to these experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I've realized is that my life feels so much better when I choose to believe that there is something larger that we are working for and that is working for us. Mm-hmm. And it's more fun to believe in magic than not. And I think that's why people say it's like faith, is that like, there's no reason why you like need to believe to survive. But then at the same time, it makes surviving so much easier to believe in the moments where we don't know what to do or where to go, or things feel like too much, to surrender and to like choose to like believe that there's something larger working for us. And like, even if it's just a mechanism to like deal to like mentally like fire different signals in my brain, you know, like to me, science and spirituality is woven into each other.
I think it's the same exact thing.
Absolutely.
And like, I went through a phase where I was like atheist or whatever when we first met, where I had denounced all spirituality and all ideas that I couldn't see or touch or whatever. Because I had, before that, I had been like really, really into it. Mm-hmm. And like, it just brought me to a place where I was just like so kind of delusional about things. And it made me feel crazy. So I was like, okay, never mind. I don't like this anymore.
Right.
And I was like, I don't need anything other than nature to like believe that that like I'm small.
Yes.
And that's good.
Yes.
You know? And then when we started talking more and more about spirituality, when we were connecting in the beginning of our relationship, we started noticing how we were talking about the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just using different words.
Absolutely.
And that I found really interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think like it's such a slippery slope to go from spirituality, and like, for me, the door to spirituality was just like choosing to believe that coincidences were more than coincidences.
Yeah.
Were like science.
And like, at that time I was like, coincidences are coincidences.
Right.
And that in itself is beautiful.
Absolutely.
Because how the hell did we end up together? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's just chance, then that's magic
that's
enough.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah. And I think it's a slippery slope to superstition.
Yes.
And I think that's when, like, and I've experienced this too, where I have like started to believe, like I've done all of this like reading and like listening to Abraham Hicks and these people who believe that like you attract what you are. And then when inevitably challenging things happen, or unfortunate things that you wouldn't choose happen to you in life, then it feels like wow, what did I do to deserve that? And then I think about like people like folks in Gaza who are experiencing genocide, or like folks all around the world, like Sudan and Congo, like suffering so immensely. Like, I refuse to believe that they are experiencing that because they are attracting what they are.
They should have just chosen joy.
Right. And I know these thought leaders have like responses to that, but what happens, I think, when you choose to believe that is that like eventually you start to blame yourself for the bad things that happen to you, saying like, oh, my vibe's just not high.
Right.
Or you're depressed. And I'm like, now bad things are going to happen because I'm depressed. And then that's not helpful. And that's why I think like I choose to shape my spirituality around what feels helpful to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's important is
that's what it's for.
Right.
In the end, I think like we don't need any of this stuff to survive, like you said,
mm-hmm.
but if it helps, then it helps.
Yeah.
And I go with what helps in every moment. And that's why my perception of God or whatever, my spirituality has shifted over the course of, I don't know, the past decade or so, so much. Like, it's my perception of the universe has changed so much. And ebbed and flowed, and I've needed to rely on believing in magic in certain phases in order to just get through a day,
right?
And not like get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, "Yeah, whatever works. Like, if this is what's gonna help, then sure, why not?" Mm-hmm. If I have to tell myself that like God doesn't want me to do drugs today in order to not do drugs, then fine, I'll do that. And that's kind of what started me on the journey of like. Of using spirituality to like, I don't know, cope with my life.
I remember when I first met you, like really, really understanding why that you needed to focus on everything like practical and physical as your higher power. 'Cause like, I remember just seeing you as this like ethereal, floaty, like you lived like 20 feet above the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so it you needed to focus on things that were real and tangible in order to ground yourself.
Yeah.
And I like am sort of the opposite, where it's like I am such a sensitive person where I feel like I am so vulnerable to being dragged down by and to victimize myself based on my own trauma, that for me believing in magic helps lift me so I'm not sinking. And like that's where we met in the middle. And it's beautiful that we, like, even though we had completely different focuses, of like, we were having very similar experiences.
Yeah.
I want to talk about too the experience we had, like when we were like experienced magic, like together for the first time.
When was that?
Do you remember?
No.
We were in bed together. I was like, giving you tingles.
Oh yeah.
And then you started crying.
Yeah.
That's the end of the story. But like I was basically like not touching you.
Yeah.
But I was like hovering my hand around your body, and then like
my mom calls that an aura massage.
Yeah. No, I was giving you an aura massage. And I remember you cried and you said like you can do that too.
Yeah.
And then we put our heads together and felt like buzzing.
Yeah.
Look, I know I can think of all the scientific reasons why that might happen, but all I know is that like having these experiences with you feels fucking good.
Yeah.
And it feels like more. So I'm gonna believe it's more. And I think that's something too that that helped free me so much in choosing to believe in more than what we can see or feel, is like realizing that the magic is what we make of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, it's not that these experiences or a butterfly like flying by is inherently a magical thing. It's the relationship, the fact that I can see a butterfly and feel magic that creates the magic,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the fact that I can experience something lifting or a profound sense of connection just from seeing something external, to me, like, the fact that that's a part of the human experience feels like magic.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's where it's like, I'm not looking for something that's outside of myself. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to actually, that spirituality for me is about connecting to myself and experiencing what joys and gifts that brings.
Mm-hmm. Like what those experiences externally can trigger internally.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes though, like mm-hmm. when I'm having a really shit day, like especially when I was living in LA, I used to do this thing where it was like kind of like a practice to help me get out of my shit mood,
mm-hmm.
where I would probably go to Trader Joe's or something like that. Sure. You know, I would like be on my way somewhere and I would be like saying out loud or in my head, but just like really focusing on asking the universe to help me
mm-hmm.
by way of my like social interactions with strangers.
Hmm.
I'd be like I need care. I need mm-hmm. soothing. I need something. I need comfort. And then I'd go out into the world and like every interaction that I'd have with a stranger was like another sort of like little band-aid on my mood.
Yeah.
It would be like over and over again, these things would happen where people were really, really extra nice to me.
Yeah.
So sometimes it would be these external experiences, but it was always about like what that reflected in me mm-hmm. too. So I get that it was like, it was my perception mm-hmm. that was really helping.
That is the magic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But also like sometimes it's hard to remember that the magic is inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so those experiences can just feel like so healing because mm-hmm. it's like, I don't know. I think what I'm trying to say is that like, regardless of where the magic is,
mm-hmm.
it's somewhere and it's helping me in those moments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes it helps to remember that it's inside of me. And sometimes mm-hmm. I need it to be outside of me because I want to feel held.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Tell me about your journey, like, in life, period. No, tell me.
It's been rough, but good.
Welcome. Tell me about like your journey with spirituality, like when you first experienced that connection and like just your relationship with it growing up.
Growing up, my mom was a minister,
mm-hmm.
or she was in school to become a minister, or she was a spiritual, what is it, counselor mm-hmm. or something. So I grew up around spirituality a lot. The church I went to was called Unity Church, and it was like all about spirituality. They would teach the metaphysical interpretations of the Bible and other books, mostly the Bible. And so it wasn't cool to me.
Mm.
It was like when I was really, really little, it was cool. I was like, I talked to God all day. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah. God is everywhere. God is me, whatever. And then once I got into like high school and smoking weed and like being like a rebel, I was like, fuck God. I don't care.
Totally.
And then when I started like, I don't know, when I left like my ex and moved back to Santa Barbara when I was like 19, I started smoking weed and meditating
mm-hmm.
accidentally. It wasn't really on purpose. It just sort of happened. Mm-hmm. And I started journaling from the perspective of my inner guidance. And that's really what started it for me, was like kind of cosplaying my highest self.
The power of journaling.
It was journaling.
The relationship I had with my journal.
Yeah.
It was the most intimate relationship I'd have in my life at that point.
Same. Mm-hmm. It was so special. And it was fun to like feel connected to something bigger than myself. And little did I know that was going to be like the answer to getting sober eventually. Mm-hmm. But at that time it was very intimate
mm-hmm.
and very healing. And my concept of God now is way more lax. It's way more like chill. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sort of just like, I'm less like diligent and deliberate about a spiritual practice because I have so much more like of a casual relationship
totally
with it that I just like know it's there and I'm like, it's fine. I don't need to like go to church every Sunday or like pray every day in this specific way to remember that. It just sort of is in me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's always been sort of along those lines until, I mean, yeah, there's more, but
yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I don't think I really had a sense of spiritual connection growing up. Mm-hmm. Like, I went to church and I went to Sunday school.
What kind?
Catholic.
Whoa.
Yeah. Christian?
There are two different ones.
I always forget which one's which.
Catholic is like...
the umbrella.
What's the umbrella?
Is Christian the umbrella?
Christian.
Christian's the umbrella.
The umbrella, yeah.
Catholic. So I was Catholic.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the bread.
Yeah, we ate the bread.
That's Catholic.
Drank the wine when I was like 8.
That's Catholic.
Yeah. They were getting
that's Catholic.
So yeah, I was like deep in church. I got baptized. I had my communion. I had my confirmation. And I remember never really, I mean, learning the facts about the Bible and being even quizzed on the facts about the Bible, but never really given like a strong sense of what it actually meant or felt like. The loudest thing I felt in church was guilt and shame. Like the biggest memory I have was two moments come to my mind. One, when we were sitting in the church and this speaker was talking to us and said, like, if you are not in the seats at church every Sunday, you will go to hell. And I remember being like,
cool.
Fuck. Wow. Okay, so burning for eternity because I didn't show up to your show.
Yeah, whoa.
Yeah, crazy. And then when I was getting confirmed, I remember like the entire year of Sunday school up to the confirmation, we were like fear-mongered of being like, well, right before your confirmation, the bishop is going to quiz you and walk around the room and pick you at random and ask you random questions about the Bible. And if you answered them wrong, you can't get confirmed. Your entire family would be there. And then, like, just you just can't.
They'd be like, no.
Like, they were just literally guilting us and fearing us into, whoa, just, like, being obedient.
Right.
Just, like, how capitalism has weaseled its way into Catholicism. But it's like...
what came first?
What came first? The chicken or the capital...
or the Pope.
The chicken or the Pope. But then the bishop ended up, like, they had to find a different bishop because he couldn't come. There was, like, an emergency or something.
He couldn't come.
Yeah.
He couldn't come.
Yeah.
That was his problem.
I wonder if they... never mind. So, all to say, I did not have a sense of, like, connection to myself. I was mostly dissociated growing up. Like, I didn't experience much. I was going through the motions. And then it was in college when there was, like, a string of traumas that happened in my life. Like, my grandma died and a really close family friend died, like, soon after, unexpectedly. Like, a month later, my first love broke up with me. And then a week later, our 19-year-old friend from school died in a car accident. And it was too much. This was, like... it was the bubbling over for me that knocked me out of my dissociation. And then I started to feel everything that I hadn't felt for most of my life. Mm. It got to a point where I was like, trigger warning, like I had like suicidal ideation. And then...
sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
You just literally laughed.
No, it's that because is you said trigger warning. I had suicidal ideation.
You literally just laughed.
I know, but you didn't warn about
trigger
the trigger
warning. I wanted to KMS. I remember looking around. I was like, yeah, anyway. And then that's when I like felt like I had no choice other than to like feel like believe in something else. Mm-hmm. My mom was helping me a lot of the time. I had a therapist. I was doing like a lot of yoga.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. And I was listening to a lot of Oprah's Super Soul Conversations.
That is what did it.
Right?
That does it.
I listened to those for years and years and years and years and years. Wow. That was my home base.
Super Soul.
God, I loved those. I remember listening to India Arie's Super Soul Conversation and being,
whoa.
God, she's still one of my favorite artists. All to say, that's when, like, I started to choose to believe in coincidences. Like, looking for proof that these people that I lost were around. Because I couldn't actually handle all of the loss. And the more I started looking, the more I found. And the more I felt connected to myself and to my love for them. And then that kind of set me up for being like on the journey of just whatever, just getting as close to myself as possible, trying to become as present more than not. And then it was that I know led me to coming out as trans, which, like, I have a lot of stories there, but I want to know, like, how your spirituality connection to all of this and your transness is intertwined.
Well, it reminds me of this one time when I was getting my hair cut by this barber, and he mentioned to, like, one of the other barbers in the room that he was studying to become a priest. And I was like,
topical.
I was like, oop. as he was, like, cutting my hair.
Wow.
And I was out as trans already and passing as cis. So I wasn't necessarily scared in that way, but I was sort of just like, okay, now I'm tiptoeing because I'm scared kind of just generally when someone says they're a priest, I'm like, I got a code switch.
Stat, yeah, for stat. Sure.
And then I was like, you know what? I bet I can have a conversation with this guy. And because I don't know, I felt compelled to share. And I was like talking to him about spirituality and about God, and somehow dropped that I was trans. And I wanted to know what he thought about that. And he was like, well, you know, they teach us in school that that's like a sin. And so they teach us to pray for people of that community. And I was like, okay, no, they don't. They don't teach you to pray. They teach you to fucking, okay, all right. Thank you. And then I was like, you know, it's interesting. I felt like once I came out as trans, it freed me up to be able to have a connection to God. And I was using his words. Like, I was using terms like God and not, like, my, like, inner guidance or whatever. And I was, like, because before I was so uncomfortable in my skin and I felt so, like, distracted by the discomfort that it was, like, I didn't have any room to philosophize on the universe and spirituality and stuff. I was busy hating my existence. So once I freed myself up and was able to have other thoughts other than, God, I hate my life, I want to kill myself. It was like I let myself see the beauty in the world around me and started feeling gratitude and started seeing those connections. And it was like such a ripple effect starting from coming out as trans. And he cried.
Wow.
Like, we had such a connection after that conversation. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he still feels, you know, some type of way about trans people, but in that conversation we connected and he heard me and it was a very beautiful moment.
Beautiful. I like to think that would be the case with more people than not.
Yeah.
Even though it feels not that way because of social media and, like, and the most extreme things get centered.
Yeah.
Especially these days, that, like, most people who are, like, quote unquote against trans people, I really want to believe that if they really heard us, like, and spoke to us, then they would maybe not agree, but resonate with a lot of that this journey.
It's such a human experience. It's not that foreign, I think.
Yeah.
I know so many cis people who relate to trans people and the journey of self-actualization.
Right.
Like, they nonstop want to tell us that they relate to us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so true.
And I like it.
Yeah. I like, my coming out as trans was, like, unbelievably, like, spiritual experience for me. Like, and I think this is where my education about Catholicism and God went wrong, is that it was always, we were always taught that the way that you connect to God is by praying to the sky far, far away. And this is just mine. I don't know what other people, how other people learn it. You know, I know every, yada, yada, yada. But, and also it was like, through these actions, you will find the connection. And it never was through stillness, through self-examination, through self-accountability, through listening to yourself and your body and what it's telling you, you will discover a connection to yourself that will deepen your connection to the world around you and the universe, the energy of the universe, you know? And I think I was always looking outside for, even at the beginning of my spirituality, I didn't think that it was like, it was about my connection to myself. So when it came to the point where I was watching a YouTube video of people talking about what non-binary meant, and I like heard someone explain it in a way that just like rang a bell in my spirit, I felt tingles all over my body, and I was like, whoa, that's what I am. And then that unlocked my access to those, that physical sensation of the tingles. And then it made me realize that that's me. And it's possible that I had experienced it before, but I had squashed it so much.
Yeah.
So I realized that, like, oh, like, it starts with figuring out what does me feel like.
Yeah.
And then I realized, to me, like, it's this tingly sensation. It's this, like, it feels like little, like butterflies, like, flapping around my insides. And it, and I've had some beautiful experiences. And it's like, when I have that feeling, that's when I know to lean into something. And that is, to me, the source. That's God to me.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to say, you know, right. when they say God.
That's the feeling of connecting to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
All that stuff.
Right. And it, and I see how, like, all of the organized religions of the world, like, are trying to point to this experience.
They're trying to package that experience and sell it.
Right. Absolutely.
And a lot of people are doing that, not just religious institutions.
100%.
White men selling books.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you.
I'm talking to you.
Who, trying to bottle that?
Yeah.
And sell it to desperate people.
Yeah. It feels like they just, like, read a book on Buddhism and then, like, a year later, like, really, truly convinced themselves they thought of it themselves.
Yeah.
And then they write a book about it in their own words. And then they're, and then they become the most famous people.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've stopped reading books. It's helped.
Yeah, I stopped reading self-help books.
That's what I mean. But also just all books, because those were the only books I used to read.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read so many self-help books.
Me too.
That were about spirituality that did help me at one point and then made me feel delusional.
Yeah. This is what self-help books are like. They're like, hey, girlfriend, you're broken. Do me a favor. Fix that. Buy my book. You'll get fixed.
Yeah.
And then it's just a constant cycle of you're broken. You're like looking through the shelves at Barnes and Noble and like, you're broken. Yeah. Like, here's all the ways that you're broken and here's all the doors that'll fix it.
They're like, let me tell you about you.
Yeah.
You make plans and then you cancel them.
Why are you saying no to life?
Yeah. You set goals, you don't achieve them. Mm-hmm. Am I talking about you? Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Elaborate more on like what made you feel delusional.
Well, okay. So it started out with the coincidences thing.
Okay.
I was like, okay, noticing coincidences, feeling the tingles, being like, oh my gosh, it's not just me here. I'm small. Mm-hmm. And it felt good to feel small after feeling like the center of the universe right. for so long.
When things feel so important.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, my problems are really tiny. Yeah. And it was like the first sense of relief I'd ever felt. Mm. Like true relief.
It's like from a drug.
My ego mm-hmm. that had been inflated over the course of my teenhood mm-hmm. and young adulthood. And so I was like, wow, like this is amazing. It felt like a drug. Mm-hmm. And then I started noticing all the coincidences, and then I was like, okay, wow, the world is like way more magical mm-hmm. than I ever thought it was. Mm-hmm. And then I started feeling like I was controlling it.
Wow.
It stopped being noticing and more about trying to manipulate.
That's so real.
You know?
Which is, that's so interesting. I resonate with that.
And then it felt crazy because mm-hmm. I was playing God mm-hmm. and being like imagining that I could control other people's energies.
Mm, wow.
And control all of my experiences and all of the things that might happen to me. And just, it was so much thinking. And the whole point is to be able to like witness mm-hmm. our thoughts.
Right.
And to learn that kind of like stepping back, zooming out moment. Mm-hmm. But I had confused that experience with zooming way far in.
Right.
And being like picking apart every single little detail of every part of my day.
Yeah.
And then that could make someone crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it sure did.
Which is interesting because I really do believe that religion, spirituality is a naturally like human response that comes from trying to find control in a chaotic world.
Yeah.
And at its best, that's what it does, is it helps us feel stable throughout tumultuous times.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting how there are so many slippery water slide, holy water, slippery slopes to like delusion.
Yeah.
To like truly like down to the point where it's like believing that you're in control of things that we're not in control of, or believing like harmful conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Like it is that, like it is so interesting how this coping mechanism can turn into something that's harmful. And it makes sense that it can, because that's like what people sell.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality is a response to fear. And so often, like, because we are trying to respond to it, fear is driving it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I think these like beliefs that are born out of disconnection are like come to fruition.
Yeah. When you're kind of in one of those zoomed in moments, mm-hmm. where not necessarily delusional, but you're just like forgetting
mm-hmm.
that there's something bigger than you out mm-hmm. there or wherever, like what helps you reconnect?
It's connecting to this like sensation, this mm-hmm. like connecting to my body, like I'm doing it right now. Like it starts in the back of my neck for me, which is interesting. And then it grows from there. And then it's like in my heart too. And it's like, I do this all the time. Like I do it all day. You know, like, I connect to my body. I start to feel tingles somewhere. And then I like lean into that feeling. I focus in on that feeling until it takes over my body. And I tend to get little shivers, and then it feels like it completely resets my nervous system. And also looking around and looking at something beautiful and just like really trying to at the same time connect to that tingly feeling and like connect the beauty of the outside world with the beauty of me. Mm-hmm. And often it's like seeing a butterfly or looking at a flower and being like, ah, or like beautiful view. And like, just it's a very physical sensation of connecting to like that feeling of me, to remember, like, to, because I default to very cerebral.
Yeah.
Like most of my energy is in my brain, which is also which is the same coping mechanism or a same response. It's a different coping mechanism for the same problem of feeling out of control.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think that something that really helps me reconnect is picturing my inner child.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, I was just like thinking, about you and your inner child.
So me as a little kid, I was so I believed in magic a lot. Like I would make little fairy gardens and I was always like playing in the dirt and connecting with nature and had no problem believing in God or praying or, you know, like my sister would sometimes hear me whispering at night and she'd be like, "What are you doing?" And I'd be like, "I'm talking to God." We had bunk
Get
beds.
Get off my case.
We had bunk beds. Which, thinking about that, I'm like, that'd be so spooky.
Oh my God.
But I was so free about it. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I was just sort of like, totally uninhibited and joyful. And I wasn't afraid to talk to anybody. I could make friends everywhere I went. I climbed a bunch of trees. And so, like, I think because I have such tangible memories of that little kid and how free he was, it's really helpful when I'm like feeling really serious, really cerebral, really zoomed in, to just be like, "Hey, can you help me?" Mm-hmm. And then like I picture him like taking my hand and like,
aww,
and like dragging me along to somewhere and like skipping around.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
I love that, because when I think of my inner child, I always think of me taking care of the inner child.
Oh.
I've never thought of the inner child taking care of you.
He's been like my guide.
Wow.
In my sobriety, in all of it. Because I'm like, you knew best. Wow. I don't know.
Yeah. I love that so much.
Yeah.
I think one of the most profound spiritual experiences I've had was connecting with my inner child. Talked about this a few times. But like, I remember like seeing her. And this was before I even really connected with like being like a girl. I remember seeing this little girl in pigtails, like in my mind's eye or whatever, and just smiling, beaming at me. And I remember thinking that I was Teresa Caputo and I was like channeling. I was a medium. Like there was a girl from the dead that was trying to communicate with me. And I talked to my like therapist, spiritual advisor at the time. And she was like, "That was you." And then I felt the full body tingles again. And then and these aren't just shivers. Like there's a difference. Like I experienced shivers, but there's these deep tingles. And then she was like, "You know, you can access like her, you can talk to her." And so that night, and I was completely sober. I was like sitting there breathing, just like picturing this girl, little girl. And then I felt this explosion of tingles all over my body, like fireworks. And then like the smile that I saw coming from this little girl, like just started beaming out of me. And then I said to lifted to the sky. And I was like, and these words just like came out of me, which is like, "You are free. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." And I remember just like feeling just uninhibited joy, just pure joy, and thinking like, you know, I don't need to qualify this. Like, I love this experience, feels so good. It feels magical. So I'm choosing to believe it is. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I'd ever had a sense of my inner child. And I think I wish I took more advantage of that connection.
Yeah.
It doesn't always feel accessible. Mm-hmm. And I think recently too. Like, I felt really far away from not my inner guidance, but from a sense of like trust that things are working out.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it feels like recently, like things aren't working out in the ways that they usually do for me.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me not to get in my head about like what's wrong, what's changed, what's, which is the superstition.
That's where it gets dangerous, mm-hmm. for sure. I'm like experiencing a similar thing because, mm-hmm. yeah, things have been going quote unquote wrong for us here. Like just logistics.
Yeah.
Paperwork, mm-hmm. things, permits and freaking things that are like made up but so real because we all decided to make things so complicated, I guess. And like, yeah, it's really tricky to not be like, okay, am I being somehow like shown that something's off by all these things just not working out? Or is that dangerous to go down that path? Yes,
it for sure is.
And then like we get these signs when we remember that's not how it's working. Like earlier today, like our Wi-Fi was out for a few days and it was really frustrating.
And then we were like trying to figure out a lot of paperwork stuff. And it felt like every path we were trying, we were like, oh my gosh, we could do this. And then there was like, a wall.
No.
It's like, no, you can't do this. And it feels like we're just like in this impossible mess.
Yeah.
And then we both started spiraling.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God, like this feels like impossible. Like everything's going wrong. And then
I said, nothing's working.
Yeah.
And then
I opened my computer and the internet was back on. And I was like, okay, girl, let's say it's a sign.
Let's just say
it's a sign.
And it helped just to say it was a sign.
Yeah.
It did help. It got me out of the spiral at least.
I think for me, that balance of healthily engaging in spirituality is engaging in what feels the most helpful, whether it's realizing like we're just riding this ride and we're surrendering. Like in the moments when I feel like there's nothing to do, that's nothing I can do. That's what I'm going to choose to believe is surrender. And then there's also the moments when I feel like out of control because it feels like all of these outside forces are manipulating me, you know, that's when I need to engage in the belief that like I have more control over my situation, over my experience than I'm claiming. And so it's like, that's what I mean is like not this sturdy, rigid rule book that I need to follow, but instead this like malleable belief system that includes nuance and many truths that might contradict each other but exist at the same time that are there for me to pull at in the moments when I need them.
Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Thanks. Yeah.
Well, it gives us space and room for all of the changes that we go through constantly, because not one perspective is going to be the right one for every instance, depending on all the variables, you know, like mood, like external circumstances, whatever it may be. Like my concept of a higher power from 2019 isn't going to work for me today. And it had to change. It had to adapt for my life.
Yeah. What I wish for the world is that folks would stop using religion and spirituality as a way to justify their fear about the things that they feel out of control of, and instead use spirituality and religion as a resource and as a tool to connect deeper with themselves. I think that if that was the norm, then people would realize that, like, what they've been taught isn't actually helping them.
Yeah.
It is actually just making them feel in control because it's giving them a direction for their fear. It's not actually freeing them from their fear.
Yeah.
And I think like that's what upsets me so much is that like I know what true love feels like. And when these folks who are using religion to justify their hatred, when these folks are using their religion to justify their hatred, it does not feel like
God's love.
God's love.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Feels like shit.
Yeah, it feels bad, huh?
Yeah. It's like, I'm just trying to save you.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want what you have, honey. Yeah. Like, that doesn't look good to me.
Like, why is it so important for you to save me? And the thing is, because they've been taught that they need to save me in order to save themselves.
Right. Yeah.
And that's just a way that organized religion has, like, taught people to, like, spread the disease of their hatred and presence by, like, come here.
And you know what's interesting?
Tell me.
Not any of this.
No, nothing.
But
nothing.
Then the thing I'm about to say is.
Okay.
No, okay. Yeah. You know what's interesting is that they have come up with this idea that we're indoctrinating kids into our trans agenda, right?
Right.
Or like whatever it is.
Right.
And I believe, this is what I truly believe.
Tell me.
That their inner voice, some buried deep down, I don't know where it is in them, but it's gone. It's very far down.
It's in the dirt.
Is somehow whispering, subconsciously whispering that there's indoctrination happening.
Right.
But they're not becoming aware of where that is in the world. And so they're just assuming that it's happening because they see our community and how kids are coming out earlier and being supported by their parents and able to like access gender affirming care. And they see this happening and they're like, indoctrination.
Yeah.
Like they just project.
The call is coming from inside the house.
It's not us.
Yeah.
It's really not us.
Yeah.
We're not forcing anything.
And it's so interesting how people who say they have such a strong sense of God and spirituality refuse to believe that there is a experience that trans people have beyond their bodies that is guiding them in a different path. Like then that was planted in front of them.
Right.
Like you'd think that, like, I feel like trans people are proof of a higher power or proof of a greater existence. And I know not all people believe that. Like people believe there's like science, and I think yes. And, but I like to believe that like I am trans, because let me get this thought together. Like I choose to let me try again. I'm stuck. Help. I truly believe that transness exists in order to wake us up from the superficial limitations of our physical bodies, to realize that sometimes what's written over our bodies is not in alignment with a divine higher truth. And I know not all trans people might resonate with this, you know, either because of trauma of like God and religion or because it's just not true for them, but that's very true for me. And I think that like, and it's clear that in indigenous cultures and like generally non-white cultures, like trans people were seen as close to God and as these spiritual oracles, like because of that we are proof of this greater existence that might not make sense, but that is just true.
Right.
And like, that is a way in, that is a door into spirituality, into connecting to God, into connecting to your higher power, into connecting to yourself, like whatever you want to call it. But people, I think that organized religion thrives on people's higher power existing on a superficial plane.
Right.
Like our bodies or the rules in the Bible.
Or the sky daddy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It couldn't be inner guidance. Yeah. If it were, they wouldn't have control over us.
Absolutely.
You know, it's that simple.
Absolutely.
They have to be the ones, like, translating from Sky Daddy so that we have a messenger that's them.
Right.
So that we don't actually ever connect to a real concept of an individual higher power.
Right.
That it's like... To me, at this point, at this stage in my life, when I say God, it has such a chill weight to it, and it used to really trigger me.
Wow.
I used to not be able to use
me
it.
Me too.
I'd be like, ew, don't talk to me.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are people listening who feel triggered by it, because like I 100% needed to shed the meaning away from the word and refill it.
Like, even when we started dating, I would never say God.
Yeah. And we still don't. It's just in the context of this.
I do kind of, but it's like because it's got such a like a broad connotation now, it's lost so much of the weight. Like I'm just sort of like whatever. Yeah. It's just a word. But a lot of words have done that in my lifetime. I think now my concept of God or spirituality or whatever is very much at the root of it all is my highest self. It's just me, free from ego.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I try to follow it, and I try to listen, and I try to connect to it as much as possible. And some days it's a lot, and some days I don't think about it or talk to it at all.
Absolutely.
But it's always there.
Yeah.
If I want it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, unfortunately, we live in like a capitalist white supremacist society that thrives on disconnection. And I truly believe that if we were groomed to have a strong connection with ourselves and with our highest selves and our sense of justice and good, that we wouldn't be fighting.
There wouldn't be war. There wouldn't be famine. There wouldn't
be... We would stop fighting left and right, up and down. Sideways, north, south, east, west. Fingers crossed.
Together, enjoy in matrimony.
All day long, you'll have good luck. What's your favorite? What do you love about me?
I love you.
I love you too.
I love that I'm in love with the way you are able to connect to your joy in such a loud and like... visceral way.
Yes. That grating is the word of the day.
Yanks me out of the deepest, darkest holes that I get buried in.
That's cool.
And
wing, wing.
It really makes me, it reminds me all the time that we are the most compatible couple for in the entire universe.
Yeah.
We're the best couple in the whole world.
And that's what I love about you.
It just reminds me of that.
Yeah, totally. Is that like when I first knew I was in love with you is when I watched your inner child play for like the first time. And it was just like, oh my gosh, I hadn't had such a strong connection to that before I met you. And so you changed my life. So
you changed my life forever. I love you so much.
I love you so much. Follow us on Patreon. Like, subscribe, finger.
If you would like to see full episodes in video form, follow us on Patreon.
If you enjoyed this, like, subscribe, finger. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Jinx. Trends in love. Take an hour, say a while. I love you.